Call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Indeed, it is. So we do a... This morning I spoke to Radio Adelaide's Zoe Kounatis about a whole heap of things. As you know, there were two things in particular. And we started by looking at New Start. And so I'm sure a few listeners will be just as unfamiliar with what New Start is, so I decided it was probably best to get Zoe to define it.
Some welfare payments for people over the age of 25 if they're not studying and just before the pension. So it's a large portion of people receiving these payments. So this week is the National Week of Action for the Australian Council of Social Service, and what they're doing is they're employing people to send letters to their MPs in order to raise the rate as a part of the Raise the Rate campaign, which has been going on for so long. So, like, the New Start is as old as me. It turned 25 this year. They have not raised the rate in 25 years. I think it's something like 275 a week or something, and the Raise the Rate campaign is pretty much demanding the government to immediately raise New Start and Youth Allowance, which is the student welfare payments, by at least $75 per week. So it's really interesting that Labor's come out and said that they are urging the coalition to raise the rate, considering it was a little unsure during the election if they were going to do this or not. I guess Labor has a new leader now, Anthony...
Albanese,
thank you. we help each other out. And he's employing the coalition to raise the rate. But again, really interesting considering pre-election, the Labor Party, it was really unclear if they were going to even address raising the rate if they were elected.
Right. So why do you think they are interested in raising the rate now?
Well, I think a lot of the Labor MPs are behind this as well. I can't really say it's for political gain because nothing's going to happen for 3 years. But, you know, hopefully the reason is because people are, you know, skipping meals because of this New Start allowance. It's really affecting people greatly. If you read any sort of social commentary from the Australian Council of Social Service, you'll see that this rate is far too low, and it's been far too low for years now, and people are really struggling with employment in Australia. Centrelink is the government organisation that these payments are processed through, and so if you're on your site, you have to go to a job agency. All these things are really horrific. Just the whole system is absolutely horrific. There's things called robo-debts. The Centrelink let you know, 5 years after you've got this debt and you owe them, $500. It takes a real toll on people. People are skipping meals, you know. It's time for some serious action, and maybe that's why Labor are getting behind it, because the Raise the Rate campaign is, you know, getting louder in this country.
I think one of the critiques I read a lot during the Australian election and after it was that Bill Shorten, who was the candidate for Labor, I believe, was relatively uninspirational. Do you think this is kind of a step to kind of reclaim Labor's position as a viable political party?
Yeah, hopefully. So, yeah, definitely Bill Shorten did cop a lot of criticism for being uninspirational and sort of a bit plain. So that's probably why he lost. Yeah, hopefully this is Labor trying to rekindle some sort of fight and go back to their origins, which is helping the people, quote unquote. So, yeah, I agree. I think you're right.
How likely do you think it is that the coalition government will adopt the changes?
I take everything with a grain of salt in this country, Oscar, and I think they're probably not that likely to, although this Raise the Rate campaign is incredible and people are fighting so hard and so much work is being done. I don't know. I have no idea if they're going to do it.
How do you think they can justify not doing it?
I mean, I don't think it's possible to justify not doing it. They have to do it, but they might say for example, when you're on NewStart, you are going to this job agency thing, which is supposed to help you find a job. A lot of people that are on NewStart or unemployed in this country, there's this really weird rhetoric and tactic put on them that they're, I don't think this at all, but quote, like bludgers or slackers or, you know, just living on the dole and not doing anything. So that whole persona is put on them when you're on this payment or on youth allowance as well if you're a young person. And it's a really demeaning thing. It's really demeaning and really demonizes people that are on NewStart. So I think they would continue with that rhetoric that people just need to be doing more.
Moving on to the next story. For the listeners who don't know what Uluru is, can you give a brief description?
Sure. Uluru, I was actually having this conversation with a friend a few weeks ago. It's not a rock. I can't remember what it is exactly. But anyway, it's a rock. It's a scared site for Indigenous people. It's in the middle of Australia. And it's been a tourist destination for a very long time, a very iconic scene in Australia. When you think of Australia, you'll think of Uluru, this beautiful big red rock in the middle of a very flat, dry desert area.
And so you mentioned there that it's a tourist destination. It has just been announced that you will no longer be able to climb Uluru. Why?
Yeah.
Is this, and why did people climb it in the first place?
So it's 3 months. It's 3 months until the climb in Uluru is closed for good, and this came with overwhelming praise because from the Aboriginal traditional owners that have been waiting for this for decades. Uluru has just had this major influx of visitors in recent weeks. Weeks with people sort of determined to climb the rock before it closes, right? As it's currently school holidays. So there's been this massive influx, all these photos of like hundreds of people lining up on the climb of the rock, which is met with a lot of heartbreak and scrutiny from Indigenous people and people who regard this site as scared and their land. Why do people climb in the first place? I don't honestly know, so the official ban is happening in October, but there's currently, before that, for years, there's been a sign asking people not to climb the rock because it goes against the wishes of the traditional owners. So
why have people been allowed to climb it if it kind of contradicts the wishes of those who kind of have right of the land?
I'm not sure. I think it's something to do with the state government allowing it. So Parks Australia, I think, run it. It's Uluru was given back to the traditional owners, and then they handed a fist of sand and handed it back to the government to allow people to visit the site.
How much autonomy do the Indigenous people of Australia have over their sacred sites, especially when it comes to tourism?
Talking to you guys a few weeks ago about the Grampians and rock climbing there. There's some Indigenous artwork from, thousands of years ago on there. So they banned they're trying to ban rock climbers. And it's improving in recent years, but I think it sort of depends, where you are or what you're talking about, but I think it's getting better, their autonomy over their land, over their sacred sites, perhaps not their land. There's still no treaty and sovereignty was never ceded. But, yeah.
Someone that seems to have a clear idea of what should be done with the land is Senator Pauline Hanson of One Nation. For those in New Zealand who don't have a background of One Nation, what is One Nation? And should Pauline Hanson's comments be taken into account when discussing the usage of Uluru?
One Nation are a far right-wing national party. They have quite racist, policies. They're really the far right political party here in Australia. Unfortunately, though, they are notoriously racist.
Why do you think Pauline Hanson feels qualified to make comments on an Aboriginal sacred site?
I have no idea, honestly. Pauline Hanson has come out and said that she doesn't see any sensitivity when people have been climbing the rock, cultural sensitivity when people have been climbing the rock for all these years. So why would we shut it down now, essentially, is what she's told a few different news organisations. Why would Pauline Hanson think she had a right to talk about these issues? It baffles me, and it baffles lots of people in this country. So she's white. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know why news organisations feel to ask her for comments either. It just doesn't make any sense when these same, you know, news programs probably aren't talking to any traditional owners or Indigenous people about it either.
Certainly the three articles that I read did all mention Pauline Hanson's comments, however, didn't refer
to... She's like a novelty. I don't know. I don't know why. Yeah, you're right. All these articles are sort of just commenting on her.
Do you think that her comments reflect kind of ignorance of the importance or cultural place of Uluru in Australia?
Yeah, certainly. She completely dismisses any regards to this sacred site. I don't think her comments are necessary when talking about
that. Was Neighbourhood Watch Ripper.